Did the LA Kings play their best period of the season while crushing the Flames? Did the Kings address their recent power play issues? And what's the latest with the Kings' goaltending competition? The answers to those questions and more on this edition of Locked On LA Kings.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Kings. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, Kings fans, welcome to Locked On LA Kings, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thanks for making Locked On LA Kings your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube. Please like and subscribe if you're enjoying this content. My name is Eddie Garcia. I'm your host of Locked On LA Kings. I've worked in sports media for the past 30 years, 20 plus years at the Fox Sports Radio Network. I'm also a co-host of the Puck Podcast. It's a weekly NHL review show that's been putting out content for the last 16 years and a passionate LA Kings fan. For 30 years, the LA Kings extended their point streak to 10 games in a row with a dominating 8-2 win over the Calgary Flames. And in the process, I believe the Kings played their best period of hockey in that game. That was the first period where the Kings dominated Calgary in virtually every way. The Kings outshot the Flames 14-3. They outscored them 4-0. But while those numbers are impressive, it doesn't really tell the story of why I think that was the best period of hockey the Kings have played so far this season. All four lines were hungry for the puck. They were very aggressive on the forecheck and didn't let Calgary breathe in their own zone. They created turnovers and got scoring chances. And they scored in the opening period, obviously, in bunches. And the fourth line scored another goal to get LA going in this one. Zach MacEwen, who I was not excited to see in the lineup, made a pass in the front of the net to Rasmus Kupari. He couldn't control the puck, but it deflected over to Carl Grundstrom, and he was able to score easily past a sprawling Jacob Markstrom, and that made it 1-0, and the Kings were off and running. If Kupari meant to get his stick on the puck to deflect it over to Grundstrom, that was an amazing play. I think it was actually a little bit more puck luck than anything, but the Kings will certainly take it. And for Grundstrom, he scored a goal for a third straight game. He's hit the 10-goal mark on the season, topping his career high of 9 goals from a season ago. About 3 minutes later, defenseman Drew Doughty would score his 6th goal of the season and his 3rd goal in the past 4 games with a wrist shot on net with Andrei Kopitar providing a nice screen of the goaltender. Third line got in on the act about a minute later. Blake Lizotte creating a turnover with a strong forecheck, which the Kings had for most of that first period. Alex Iafallo retrieving the puck behind the net and then made a beautiful no-look pass to the front of the net to Gabe Vilardi, who scored. For Vilardi, he is continuing his career year. That's now 23 goals on the season for him. About 3.5 minutes later, Victor Arvidsson joined the 20-goal club for the Kings with a power play goal and a great cross-ice pass from Adrian Kempe. Arvidsson joins Kempe, Kopitar, Vilardi, and Kevin Fiala as Kings players to score 20 goals or more so far this season. And that was how the best period of hockey for the LA Kings went down. Now, I don't want to be a prisoner of the moment, and the Kings have scored 4 goals in a period before a few times this season, most recently against the New York Islanders just last Tuesday. But I can't recall a more dominant period this season for the LA Kings. It was a great example of what this team is capable of doing when they are playing all four lines as a group, up-tempo, forechecking. It was just a great all-around period. And if you're a Kings fan, just sit back and enjoy and have a good time with the way they played. It wasn't a perfect period. The Kings did allow a 2-on-1 early on before they scored any of their goals. Phoenix Copley came up with a big save, and then that started things going for the Kings. And Victor Arvidsson did take a high-sticking penalty in the final seconds of the period, and that power play carried over into the second. But again, I thought that first period for the LA Kings against the Calgary Flames was their best period of hockey all season long, and hopefully we see a little bit more of that going forward as well. As for the second period of the game, we mentioned that the Kings were shorthanded to start the period, and unfortunately Drew Doughty would turn the puck over behind the Kings net, and Calgary would score just 34 seconds into that second period, and it felt like there's an opportunity here for Calgary to get back in the game. But to LA's credit, they would not allow that to happen. There was another power play chance for Calgary, but the Kings had a big penalty kill. And then the Kings' top goal scorer, Adrian Kempe, would take over, striking twice First, on a great pass from defenseman Alex Edler from the Kings zone down the ice to Kempe, who came off the bench and was at the Flames blue line. He took it in alone on net and scored to make it 5-1. About 5 minutes later, Juice would strike again, this time on a wicked wrist shot into the top corner of the net to make it 6-1. And that was pretty much the game at that point, if it hadn't been decided already. For Kempe, his 34th goal of the season. He's now one off his career high that he set a season ago. In the third, the Flames would get a stuff-in goal that went off the glove of Felix Copley to make it 6-2. But LA would still not let up. Mikey Anderson scored a power play goal, showing nice patience and putting a shot into the top corner of the net. For Mikey, he now has doubled his career high in goals scored this season. He now has 5 on the year. And Carl Grundstrom closed out the scoring with his second goal of the game, his 11th of the season, to make it 8-2. Grundstrom roofing the puck into the top corner with not a lot of room to do it. A very skilled play on his part. All in all, 14 of the Kings' 18 skaters had at least 1 point. 8 different Kings had multi-point games. It was not the first time the Kings had scored 8 goals in a game, though, this season. Do you remember the other 8-goal game? Here's a hint. The Kings lost. Remember that crazy 9-8 overtime loss at home to the Kraken back on November the 29th? I certainly do, because I was at that game, and it was one of the craziest games I've ever seen. But thankfully, this one had a much more enjoyable result. We do need to crown a king for our player of the game for the victory over the Flames. And despite a great overall effort from many, many players, I thought one player actually did stand out. And that would be the man they call Juice, Adrian Kempe. In addition to his 2 big goals in the second period that essentially put the game away, he also had a great cross-ice pass on the power play to Victor Arvidsson for a goal. Adrian Kempe wears the crown for the win over the Flames. Long live the King. We got to check in on the Kings' goalie top competition and the Kings' power play as of last night as well. And we're going to do that in just a second. But first, I want to remind you today's episode of Locked On LA Kings is brought to you by our friends over at FanDuel. We have hit the midway point of the NBA season and then some. And now is the perfect time to download the FanDuel app, America's number one sportsbook, because new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets back. When your first bet doesn't win, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It is safe, secure, and super easy to use. Then you can bet on everything from the money line to points scored to three-pointers made. Plus, FanDuel even gets you lets you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout. It's called a same-game parlay, so don't miss your chance to get your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 in a bonus bet when you go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sports betting partner of the NBA. So we need to update you on a few things that we have been focusing on lately with the LA Kings. That would be the power play and the fourth line and the Kings goalie competition. Let's start with the power play, which has been slumping of late. Going into last night's game, the Kings had just 3 goals in their last 26 power play opportunities. Obviously, not having Kevin Fiala and Sean Durzi has not helped things of late for the Kings, but they did make some adjustments on the power play last night that seemed to get results. LA went 2-for-5 with the man advantage against Calgary last night. The most notable change was moving Victor Arvidsson from the second power play unit to the number one power play unit. And as we mentioned, he had a very, very nice goal on a one-timer at the left wing on a cross-ice pass from Adrian Kempe at the right wing. And Mikey Anderson got a rare power play goal. How rare? Well, he'd never done it before in his NHL career. He scores his first career power play goal. And again, the Kings 2-for-5 with the man advantage, making some changes and getting some results. I think Jim Hiller has done a tremendous job running the power play for the Kings all year long. And we know it's been much improved, but I think when the Kings have had their slumps here and there, certainly not against making some changes and trying some different things. And certainly that was the case last night against Calgary. So we'll see how those changes will continue going forward. And hopefully last night getting a couple of power play goals will help the Kings get that power play going. Of course, Kevin Fiala and Sean Durzi coming back hopefully soon should help things as well. But encouraging to see the Kings get a couple of power play goals with the way the power play had been going of late. Let's update you on the Kings goalie competition between Jonas Korpisalo and Felix Copley. Last night it was Copley allowing 2 goals on 18 shots. The first goal he allowed was off a bad turnover over from Drew Doughty, shorthanded. Teammates didn't really help him out on that one. Second goal went off his glove and kind of a stuff in on a scrum in front of the net. Not a soft goal, but I think anytime the puck hits your glove as a goaltender, you probably feel like that's one you probably should have stopped. All in all, Copley wasn't all that active. He did have a couple of nice saves on a couple of two-on-one opportunities. I mentioned that one early on in the first period. You know, who knows if that goes in, if maybe it's a different game, if Calgary gets some momentum on it. Copley called for a tripping penalty in this game, but while it was a tough call for the referee, replay showed that actually was not the right call. Former King Tyler Toffoli actually was the one that made contact with Copley's stick, and that resulted in Toffoli going down. It looked like a trip real time, but again, the replay showed it actually wasn't. But all in all, Phoenix Copley, not that busy, didn't have to be great, but as we've said pretty much all season long with Phoenix Copley, another solid performance by him and good enough to get his team a victory. And we've seen in a number of games now, the Kings have not allowed more than two goals in a game. And that's a huge reason why they have been so successful of late and having that 10-game point streak. So here are the updated numbers on the Kings. This is, again, since the trade to bring Jonas Korpisalo over to LA and since the Kings started to alternate starts in net. So Phoenix Copley now, since that time, has a record of 4-0-1. His goals against average actually went up a little bit from 1.47 to 1.58, and his save percentage did drop slightly from 942 to 934. He has allowed 8 goals on 121 shots so far since the trade deadline, and he has posted wins over the Flames, Canadiens, Capitals, and Blue Jackets. He did have the shootout loss to the Predators. As for Jonas Korpisalo, we expect to see him in net in the Kings' next game. That's coming up Saturday against the Winnipeg Jets as the Kings continue to alternate starts. For Korpisalo, a record of 3-0-1. He has a goals against average with the LA Kings of 1.96 and a 921 save percentage. He's allowed 8 goals on 101 shots. He's posted wins over the Blues, Avalanche, and Islanders, and he did have the shootout loss the other night against the Canucks. So again, looking at the head-to-head goals against and save percentage numbers, right now Copley, 1.47 goals against average to Korpisalo's 1.96, and the save percentage, Copley is at 934 compared to Korpisalo's 921. But again, great numbers for both goalies, and as we mentioned, goals against average for both of them under 2, which is fantastic right now. So hopefully that'll keep going, and we'll see how Jonas Korpisalo does coming up this Saturday against the Jets, and we'll update you on the competition on our show next Monday. But again, another solid performance by a Kings goaltender. And I know we had an email on our feedback show last week talking about who could have seen this change in the Kings goaltending from the start of the season when it was Jonathan Quick and Cal Peterson and how those struggles went to now having Jonas Korpisalo and Phoenix Copley and having things very much solidified in net and really feeling confident about either goalie going forward. Also wanted to touch on that fourth line again. We've talked about it a lot lately, and we told you Carl Grundstrom scored another goal. So the fourth line continues to not only play well and create opportunities, but actually getting numbers, getting results. I said I was not thrilled with Todd McClellan's decision to put pull Arthur Kaliev out of the lineup and replace him with Zach McEwen. Despite that, I thought McEwen played okay. He put a few hits in. Officially, he had 2. Had a couple of decent outlet passes. He did pick up his first point as an LA King with an assist on the Grundstrom goal, the first Grundstrom goal, I believe it was. He also broke in alone on net and had a great scoring chance, and he fumbled the puck away and didn't even get a shot on goal. All in all, I thought he was okay. And it's not like I'm rooting against Zach McEwen. You know, I obviously would love to see him play well, but he just doesn't have the same skill set as Arthur Kaliev. And as we've mentioned multiple times, Kaliev needs to be in the lineup because of his abilities on the power play, still second leading power play goal scorer for the Kings. You know, if Zach McEwen was just flying around the ice and was just a human wrecking ball and creating havoc and turnovers and was this intimidating presence, I could see the value of having him in the lineup, but he really hasn't been that. Like I said, he got credited with 2 hits. That was 2 less hits than Adrian Kempe had. I know there has been some comments from Todd McClellan about feeling that he's got a lot of options on that fourth line, and it seems like he's interested in having things not be settled. wanting to use multiple players on that fourth line. Maybe it keeps them hungry. I don't know. But I'm definitely in favor of a Kupari, Grundstrom, Kalia fourth line. We'll see how it goes going forward. And nothing that happened last night with Zach MacEwen changed my mind on that. And I know there was some talk about wanting Zach MacEwen in the lineup because they wanted to counter Milan Lucic with the Flames. Well, Lucic didn't even play last night. He was a healthy scratch. So if that was part of the strategy, I don't think it was. But if it was, then obviously that didn't turn out to be something. And I don't think Zach MacEwen, I mean, he's still recovering from a broken jaw that he had. He's still wearing that full shield that covers his jaw. And he's not going to fight with that thing on. I know that occasionally players will fight with shields, but I don't see him doing that. And I don't know if the referees would even allow him to do it with that equipment on, because some guy can, you know, break his hand trying to punch him through that mask. And there were a couple of incidents last night where, you know, maybe you thought if you have a Zach MacEwen out there, maybe it prevents those kinds of things, or maybe he has a response to those kinds of things. That didn't happen. There was an incident late in the game. Obviously, Calgary was getting embarrassed and they were frustrated, and Nazem Kadri took a cross check on Adrian Kempe, and then the resulting scrum saw Quinton Byfield go down on a hard cross check, and both Calgary players went into the box. But there was no response from Zach MacEwen after that. I guess the game's out of hand and you just want to get it over with. But yeah, like I said, I will see how it goes going forward. The indication to me seems like Tom McClellan is going to, you know, kind of mix it up a bit. But hopefully once we get towards the playoffs, things get settled and Arthur Kaliev is a more consistent presence in the lineup. But we'll see. It's anybody's guess, really, at this point, just based on how things have been handled of late. Like I said, I thought the fourth line had been playing really, really well with that trio. And then McClellan makes the change. So we'll see how it goes going forward. We'll see what the fourth line is as far as how it's structured in the game coming up Saturday against Winnipeg. Winnipeg's a big team, so maybe he wants Zach MacEwen in the lineup to kind of balance that physical presence that the Jets have, but we'll see how it goes. There was one bad thing that did happen in that big Kings win last night. We're going to talk about that and also update you on what's going on in the Pacific Division as far as the standings and with the playoff positioning. But first, I want to let you know that today's episode of Locked On LA Kings, also brought to you by Athletic Greens. With one delicious scoop of AG1, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food-sourced superfoods, probiotics, adaptogens to help you start your day right. This special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, and aging. AG1 contains less than 1 gram of sugar, costs you less than $3 a day, and it's just one scoop and a cup of water. That's it. No need for a million different pills or supplements to look out for your health. And to make things easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1 year supply of immune supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/NHL network. That's athleticgreens.com/NHL network to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. There was one bad thing that happened in last night's game, and I don't know how bad of a thing it is because we haven't had an update, but late in the game, forward Gabe Vilardi went down hard into the boards. He left the game with some sort of an injury. He wasn't helped off the ice, but he did go very slowly off the ice under his own power and didn't return. He was putting weight on both of his legs. He didn't appear to hit his head on the ice. He didn't appear to be wobbly in any way as he left, but he was definitely experiencing some discomfort. If I had to speculate, maybe a shoulder or a back, as he did kind of go down hard on the ice and then into the boards. Hopefully just went down a little bit hard and a little bit awkwardly and was just kind of shaken up on the play, but nothing serious. After the game, head coach Todd McClellan did not have an update, and there has been no update from the team since, which no news could be good news. Hopefully is good news. The Kings were off today. They were given a day off. And so they've got, 4 days off before their next game. So the team got a day off today. So no practice. And with the day off, we didn't have an update as to obviously seeing Gabe Vilardi back on the ice at practice and that sort of thing. So hopefully we'll have an update on Vilardi coming up on tomorrow's show. And also because of the day off, no practice for the Kings, no new things to report involving Kevin Fiala or Sean Durzi. Again, hopefully tomorrow positive news on at least Gabe Vilardi, and hopefully we find out some more about Sean Durzi and Kevin Fiala as well on Wednesday. The Kings are so close to being the top team in the Pacific, but the Oilers also continue to win. So let's check in on the Pacific Division standings and the playoff picture. Right now, the Vegas Golden Knights, 92 points. They are still the top team in the Pacific, although the Kings have caught them also with 92 points. But a couple of things keeping the Golden Knights on top in the division for now. They have a game in hand, so they've played one fewer game than the Kings. They've also have more regulation wins than the Kings do. So the Kings can't be tied in points with Vegas and get the tiebreaker. They have to have more points than Vegas to be in the top spot. At least that's how it plays out for now. The Golden Knights are playing in Vancouver tonight. And even if they don't win that game, again, the Kings don't have a chance to jump over them, at least not tonight, because again, the Golden Knights, even though they would have played the same number of games, the Golden Knights do have more wins in regulation, which would be one of the tiebreakers. So the Kings do have a 4-point lead on Edmonton for home ice advantage and a potential first-round playoff matchup. The Oilers look like they might stub their toe last night in San Jose. They were down by a goal in the third period, but they ended up tying up the game, and then they win it in overtime 5-4. So Edmonton with 88 points, 4 points back of the LA Kings in that battle for home ice advantage in the first round of the playoffs as it stands right now. As for Seattle, they've got 83 points. Looks like they may be getting locked into one of those wild card spots in the West. So again, tonight, the Golden Knights are in Vancouver to take on the Canucks. Kraken are in Dallas to face the Stars. So we will see how that result goes for the LA Kings. One more thing I wanted to touch on, and this could be a subject for our fan feedback show coming up this Friday. What do you guys think about the puck track that Bally Sports has been using lately when the Kings are on the power play or shorthanded? Now, obviously, if you're at the games, you're not seeing this. If you're listening on the radio or streaming, you don't know about this. But if you're watching on TV, clearly it's something that is noticeable. It's not a throwback to the old glow puck back in the day, where, you know, they had the multicolored like stream and things like that. It's just the puck is black, and then the trail that comes from it when they shoot the puck or pass the puck around is also like a thin black line. So it's, I don't know how I feel about it. It does kind of take me out of the game a little bit because I feel like I'm playing a video game or I'm watching a video game. They do have the little name plate that comes up over the top of the players. If you don't know, the players' jerseys all have this tracking chip in them. It's in the back of the jersey, kind of by where the name is. And the new pucks have a chip in them as well. That's how they're able to use this puck track technology. I don't mind it so much when the Kings are on the power play, but I really hate it when they're shorthanded. I don't know why, it stresses me out. It feels like every time there's a shot on goal, it's going in. I don't know why. It was really stressing me out when the Kings were trying to kill a penalty. I didn't mind it as much, like I said, on the power play. But I think overall, if I had to vote on whether they use it or not, I would say no to not use it. It's like I said, it's a little bit distracting, makes me feel like I'm watching a video game. And like I said, shorthanded, it stresses me out. So I would say no, but I'm not opposed to, you know, broadcasters the companies that do this thing, trying new things out occasionally. Obviously we've seen a lot of advances in the technology with putting the ads along the boards and putting the ads on the ice and even on the glass and things like that. And that's, I haven't really been bothered by a lot of that stuff. I know some people have, the Bally Sports people are trying something new. If you have an opinion on that and you want to share it, that's certainly something that you could chime in on with our feedback show coming up on Friday. And also want to remind you about that. You can get your thoughts and opinions on anything going on with the LA Kings. Did you think the first period against the Calgary Flames was the best period of the season as well, like I did? You can always send an email, lockedoneddie@gmail.com, E-D-D-I-E, lockedoneddie@gmail.com. If you're watching on YouTube, you can always post your feelings on anything going on with the Kings in the comments. I always check those out. And you could do like LA Kings 88 did, and send me a direct message on Twitter. I try to follow everybody back that follows the Locked On LA Kings account on Twitter. As long as I see that you're not a bot, you know, that you're a Kings fan, maybe there's something in your bio, a picture you have on your, you know, your bio, or you've tweeted something about the Kings in the last month or so, I'll usually follow you back. I try to be consistent with that. If you follow me on Twitter, or at least the show on Twitter, and you want to follow back, let me know if maybe you've slipped through the cracks a little bit. But if you want to post something on Twitter or send a direct message on Twitter as well to get your questions in, you can absolutely do that as well. That's fine. Again, looking forward to another feedback show coming up this coming Friday. That is going to do it for today's show. Very, very fun to talk about a convincing Kings win. Hopefully we can see some more convincing wins going forward. And the Kings riding a 10-game point streak, they'll take that into their game at home against the Winnipeg Jets coming up on Saturday. In between, we mentioned we've got the feedback show. We also have a special fan interview coming up this week as well. So some good shows coming up for you here on Locked On LA Kings. I'm Eddie Garcia. Thank you for listening and watching. As always, have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow. And as always, go Kings, go.